I saw a multi-story building. It was all cement and very gray, and there was parking underneath. And I asked God, what is this now? Because I saw us in the building, but there's no windows, there's no doors, the wind blows through. And he says, you know, you're on so many levels, and that's cool, but I've given you so much more. I've given you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've given you the fruits of the Holy Spirit, but you don't build it in. You just think you have to endure. You just think you have to stay in this building, and the weather blows through, and that's kind of how it is as Christians. But God said, I give you so much more. And then as I prayed for us to receive it and to give it to each other and share it with each other, the building started to have windows and doors and carpets, and the cars that came in had color, and it was as if the whole thing came alive. Thank you, Lord, that you showed us this picture, Father, and we are so barren, Father. We think sometimes we are multi-story and we have these levels and we think we know it all, but Lord, you've given us so much more. And Father, we ask today to help us to embrace that, to receive it, and so that we can give it to each other, Father, because that was your intention, that it will be beautifully and wonderfully, and that this will be a testimony to the rest of the world. But this open building is no testimony. So God, we pray today that we will understand and we will start living this that you have given us, in the name of Jesus.
Just a small testimony. I got woken up last night when the thunder started. And you know that feeling of wide awake in the morning, and you know, God, what do you want to say to me? I actually stood up, went to my study, and the words came, the separation between me and you is because of fear, guilt, and shame. And I was just praying from that moment on, Lord, what am I supposed to do with all this? There's so much broken relationships. Normally on a Sunday morning, we go to a street church which Pastor Morris started behind the city hall. About 6 weeks ago, I delivered a message there, and I made an altar call, and there was a new couple that came forward and accepted Jesus. And this morning, Benita called me back and said, Pastor, I just want to tell you, last time you challenged us to move forward, and we did apply for our IDs. We're looking for jobs, but we've stopped drinking. We've stopped using drugs, and we just want to glorify you. And just had a chat, praised them for moving forward, for the choices they made. And when I left there, Andy Lawton, who's the pastor there, showed me a letter that she wrote to me, just thanking us for what we're doing in their lives, changing their lives, and believing in them. And I just believe that God wants to, it sounds so stupid and futile about 6 weeks ago when we did the altar call, but it's changing lives. And that open door that we need to go out, show the world what life there is. There's a life out there that we need to go and live out.
While in worship this morning, I just saw this glass vase, and I was standing next to the vase, and it was filled with, it was you could see through it, and then God just opened the heavens, and he poured a liquid in there, but the liquid cannot be evaporized like water. It was a long-lasting liquid that everybody could see, and it was a rich liquid, and I just feel that that's what God wants to do with us today, and come and fill us with something that can't evaporize. It just stays there.
Morning, I saw a picture of worms eating flesh. I believe there are people here that there's a part of you who wants to be here, who wants to worship God, but there are things in you eating you up. And you know that Jesus has never been offended by sin or problems. He associated himself with people that struggle and sin. So don't run away. I just like to encourage you to run to Jesus Christ. He can heal you in an instant. He can deliver you. He can cleanse you in an instant. So I just like to encourage you, if you feel like that things are eating you from the inside and only you know about it, I'd like to encourage you, run to Jesus. He can touch you. One encounter with him can change your life. Amen.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you've come to encourage me this morning, God, with these words, Lord. I really believe that these words are you speaking to us, God? Because you want to do a mighty work in us, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that I believe the word that I'm bringing this morning, God, is from you, Lord God. If I've ever had a word from you, God, I believe this is it today, Lord God. I really believe this, God. I know that you have spoken to me about this, and I know you want to do a work of healing in our lives, God. God, I thank you for your love, for your goodness, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that each one of us here are loved by you, and that your heart is for us. It's not against us. It's to give us a future and a hope, to prosper us for good things in our lives, Lord God. But Lord, this life we have to live by faith. And I pray, God, that you will release the gift of faith today, now, right now, God, in our lives. I pray that you will open our spirits to receive the words, God. That whatever is brought into the light, God, the darkness will flee. The hurt and insecurities in our lives, God, will be removed by you. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over us, Lord. I thank you for your love, for your goodness and your mercy, God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. I've been listening to Anton's sermon, which was amazing to me to see that he preached exactly the same sermon title as I had the week before. But what was even more encouraging for me is to see the words that was being given by you guys. I believe it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, that God is speaking to us, that it's a new season, that He wants to do these things in our lives, and I was very encouraged by it. And through that, I've been really struggling with the Lord. Why do we struggle so much? Why is it that as a church, we're not standing up? God is giving us all these promises, but it's almost like we are just tracking back. We're just like, we cannot do this. And I've been really wrestling with the Lord, and I believe He's given me an answer, and He's given me a key for all of us to break through. Because what I'm seeing is the whole thing about grace and truth. Jesus came to bring grace and truth. Moses brought the law, but Jesus came to bring grace and truth. And truth is the things that we must do. That's the truth. We must do these things. And someone gave me this example. It's like doing our dishes. It's like folding up our clothes. We must do it if we want order in our house. We have to bath. We must do those things. It's same in our Christian life. We have to love. We have to forgive. We have to go to cell group. Do not neglect this fellowship of the believers. We have to tithe. I'm not going to preach tithing because I don't want you to think I won't put you under condemnation to preach, but I believe there's a blessing in giving. There's many things that we must do. But I believe for us, when we hear, I must do this, we go, and we don't have the capacity to do what we must do. We must pray. And when we say we must pray, no one comes to pray because it's law. There's too much to do. I'm so busy. We must reach out. We must go to the poor. We must go to the orphans. But no one has the capacity to do these things, I believe, because we've been hurt so much. I believe God is the grace, is His power to want to do the things that we have to do. Not, I have to do it because there's nog iets wat ek moet doen nie. It's because I'm excited, I'm driven by the love of God to want to do things for God. Not because die kerk sê, ek moet dit doen nie, nou doen ek dit maar. And then I feel condemned and I feel bad because I'm not doing this thing because I'm so busy in my life and so many things are happening and you don't know how busy my life is. And then we stand up and we do things and we get rejected because we didn't do it right. And then we withdraw. And we become very vulnerable. We become very broken because we're trying to do things in our own strength and we cannot. And I just realized that I have a massive capacity to do things. But I've come to a place where I can't anymore. It's just now I really need God's grace, where God's grace is sufficient for me. It's not when I'm weak, God is strong. Because, you know, we come to church and we want to mean something. Because out there in the world, I believe we do things and we're not valued maybe as we think we should be. And we join a church and we have our contribution to give and we're very excited because we have all these promises that God wants to give us and we reach out and then we get rejected somehow and we get hurt and we stand back and we don't talk but we withdraw a little bit or we go to a different church and we try and get involved in that church and then we get hurt there again and we become very critical and we look from the outside of inwards and we're not part of the church anymore. We are standing on the outside. We are unhappy and we're unloved, we get offended, and we withdraw. And I believe God wants to do a healing because what I believe God has shown me, the root of all of this, is that we've been rejected. And if I press your point, I can probably go through each one of us and know, and I'll press a point where you have been rejected somehow in your life. But Proverbs 18 verse 14 says, "A man's spirit will endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear?" When your spirit has been crushed, who can stand that? It's a terrible thing to happen when your spirit has been crushed. Proverbs 15 verse 13 says that a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is crushed. When our hearts have been broken, our spirit gets crushed. And it's something that we cannot overcome because our heart has been so broken. I don't know if you have heard the expression, but your heart is raw. It's like very, very painful. And this is what I believe happens when we are being rejected. Derek Prince says, "Rejected can be defined as a sense of being unwanted. You desire people to love you, yet you believe that they do not. You want to be part of a group, but you feel excluded. Somehow, you are always on the outside looking in." That pain of rejection is sometimes deeper than our memory. When we get rejected, we take it away and we don't want to think of it anymore because the pain is just too much. And the mind wants to exclude the pain because we want to continue going forward. And what I'm talking about is that place where we are not chosen. And maybe all of us have been there. You're the fourth guy from the last that always gets chosen when they choose guys to play touch rugby. Not even the last. You're the fourth last guy. And you go, why am I always the fourth last person to be chosen? Or everyone gets invited to a braai. You only get to find out afterwards that you were not invited. But all your friends have been there. Or there's a circle of friends, but you're never part of that group. You are not chosen. You are being rejected. There's a lack of love. When we're not being loved, we feel unwanted. The worst sickness that someone can go through is not being loved. That's the worst sickness that anyone, that place, and maybe you've been there where you've been rejected or someone broke up with you. And you thought, this is the person that I'm going to get married to, and that person breaks up with you. Maybe you've been married to that person, and that person breaks up with you. That's the worst pain that we can go through. All relationships have the risk of rejection. Every relationship, except with God, have the risk of being rejected. That every time you build relationship with someone, you risk being rejected by that same person. The deepest wound that a human can experience is that rejection. When someone says to you, you are not good enough. Or they even ignore you, just as they walk away from you. There are three causes where people get rejected, three main causes. Maybe there's more, but what I'm just seeing is as a child, which is probably the most damaging. When you've been rejected as a child, it hurts the most. But it's the pregnancy. It was an unwanted pregnancy. It was maybe out of wedlock. Your parents wanted a boy. They wanted Hendrik. You're a girl. Now they call you Hendrika. That's from Fred in F3. You've been adopted. Or your parents did not demonstrate love to you, or you perceive that they didn't demonstrate love to you. Maybe they were divorced. You had an absent father. He was always very busy, but you didn't feel he was giving input into you, so you felt rejected by your father. You asked him questions, but he didn't reply to you. Or one of your parents, or maybe both parents, died. Then also, when parents give unequal affection to a sibling, as hulle iemand anders voortrek, jou broer of jou sister voortrek oor jou, that also can cause rejection. We can be rejected by others, abused, maybe raped, bullied at school, in the occult, when people get drawn into the occult, they get terribly abused that way. We can be rejected by the opposite sex. You so badly want that girlfriend, and then later on you find out that she's in love with your best friend, and he knew it, but no one cared to tell you. So you just feel so rejected, and you feel so lonely, because you can't even talk to your friend about it, because he's the cause of your pain. In our teens, maybe when our parents get divorced as children, that causes us, why am I not good enough? Why did they walk away from me? Then not being married, being lonely. Maybe it took you a long time to get married, but that pain is still there. You are married today, but it took you a while, and you feel rejected because I couldn't find the right person. In your heart, there's a measure of rejection in your heart. You had no friends. You struggled to have friends. And even if they were friends, you always felt you had to work to maintain your circle of friendship. You didn't want to reach out to that unlike guy because maybe if I go and reach out to him, they're going to reject me. So you just try to keep the friendship happy. But you knew in your heart that if it really came down to it, they wouldn't be there for you. Then our circumstances. The one thing that I'm seeing, it can be a generational thing. And in the Great Depression, which was in 1933, many people got pregnant. Then the mother would say, I don't want this child. I cannot feed this child. So this child get raised in massive rejection. And then when this child had their children again, they didn't know how to deal with their children because there was rejection. I made a joke in intercession, but I said, I think those photographs of the 1900s, midi boere, but they never smiled. I believe it's because they were just rejected. They were unhappy. So it's a generational thing of people who are being rejected, and we are being rejected because we don't understand the love of God. A long-term illness, and I think we can, as a family, experience that. When someone is sick, or you don't have children, or you struggle to have children, there's a measure of rejection in your heart that you believe, why? Why not me? Why can everyone else have it? Why not me? What is wrong with me? Legalistic and religious preaching. Now I'm getting under so much condemnation, but that can also cause people to feel rejected. When you lose someone close to you, when someone dies, and you know, if you knew in the church, but many people that I knew in a year, five people in a year that I knew very well died, and then next year two, and then now recently, but that causes you to, there's so much pain in your heart, and I believe I've been open to a spirit of rejection because of what has happened there. But this leaves you, this rejection, and I believe it can be a spirit, it can be a spiritual thing. Eventually it's just our emotions, but it can open us up to a demonic spirit as well. But it leaves us burnt out and exhausted. There's something that drives you. You have to accomplish these things all the time. You are being driven by things to do things better. It must be perfect. I'm never satisfied. And this rejection will lead us to unbelief as well, that we just not believe that God is for us anymore because we've been rejected so, so many times. It causes people to be double-minded. We cannot make our decisions. You know, I always joke in the restaurant, I say, I used to be indecisive, but I'm not sure anymore. But that's how we get, because you don't want to make a decision, because if I make a decision and it's the wrong decision, then everything is going to fall apart. So you are careful. You don't want to make decisions because you don't want to be confronted with that rejection afterwards. You are easily controlled by your circumstances and your feelings because you are afraid to take a wrong choice. So you, when things go bad, then everything falls apart for you. And you don't want to stand and make a choice and go through it because of that sense of rejection that will come after this. So once you have rejection, you will reject other people. Because what we tend to do is, I don't want to be rejected again. I don't want to open my heart for someone new. So I close my heart and that person feels the rejection. Because why are you so loveless? What did I do to you? I thought I was nice to you. And they close their hearts to us. And we close our heart to other people. So we will actually not be able to love both God and other people. Rejection makes us
pull away from people.
I've got this table just of fruit that will come from rejection. You pull away from people. You pull away from God. You don't want to be part of a church. You don't want to go to cell group. You do your own thing. You would rather do a small group than being part of the body of Christ because there has been rejection. You are dissatisfied, perfectionism. You always have to do that thing very, very accurately. The fear of mistakes. You have negative or perverse desires. You fear rejection. This is something that always drives you. Condemnation. Oh, ek weet ek moet dit doen. I should have done this, but I can't. You know, I should actually wake up. I should actually go to this outreach. I should actually, but I can't. There's massive condemnation that goes with it. You're double-minded or you're uncertain. There's rebellion in the heart. Guilt, depression, blame, or we condemn ourselves. We judge other people. Loneliness, isolation. We want to be rather with ourselves. We become stubborn, disbelief, not trusting God. We pity ourselves. There's a fear of abandonment, worry and anxiety. We become jealous over what other people have. We envy what they have and what we don't have. Idolatry. We want to control others. It's like, I draw you and I will manipulate you because I just don't want to lose you. And I think this is sometimes, for parents with children, this can be very, very true because we just don't want to lose our children as well. Ingratitude. We're not thankful for what we have. Low self-esteem. We get discouraged. We become hopeless. We're not willing to be open to confess our sin because we don't want to be hurt again. Because the last time I opened my heart, that step on me. You search for love in the wrong places, like pornography or fornication. And I think this can even be if you're married and there's someone gives you attention, you like the attention too much. It's not, you're not stepping the line, but in your heart you do because you want the affirmation. Because that person is giving you attention, so you're opening your heart to that person. But in your heart, you're starting to maybe even cheat on your spouse. You have accusations against God, against others, and you don't trust God, you don't trust yourself, you don't trust other people. Terry Prince also says, closely related to rejection are the wounds of betrayal and shame. All these produce similar responses in a wounded person. The feeling of being unwanted or unaccepted. He says shame is debilitating. I didn't know what it means. Maybe you don't know what it means either. But it means it makes us weak. It cripples us. It disables us. It harms us. Isaiah 54 verse 6 to 8 in the new NIV says, the Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit. A wife who married young, only to be rejected, says the Lord, your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. So just what I see from this is God is saying to us, He will call us in. We are like His wife. We are the bride. We have been deserted. We feel broken, we feel isolated, we feel distressed in our hearts. Our hearts, our spirit has been broken. He says we have been like that wife that's been left by the husband, been rejected, being left alone. But He says, yes, I have abandoned you because you were left by yourself, but I will come with deep compassion. And compassion is that thing that drives you to want to do something. Compassion is not, oh, I feel sorry for someone. Compassion is, I have the sense that I need to do something because of the love of feeling sorry, of having mercy, of being kind to someone and actually reach out and do something to that person. So I believe God is saying that He wants to do something in us to come and heal who we are. Yes, He has hidden His face from us, but now with everlasting kindness, God will have compassion on us. Because He's the Lord, our Redeemer. I believe God wants to redeem us from this hurt, from this brokenness, from rejection. He wants to come and do a healing in our lives. 1 John 4, verse 18 to 19 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. There's no fear in love. perfect love casts out fear. When we are rejected, we fear of being rejected again. So what we say is, I just don't want to be rejected again. So I withdraw. I can't give unconditionally. And I believe what God is just saying, because we've been hurt and punished so many times, we withdraw. But He says, my love, my everlasting love, is that place where there's no fear anymore. Because my perfect love cast out all fear, that there won't be a brokenness anymore, because we have received the love that God has for us. People respond in three different ways to rejection. They give in, they hold out, or they fight back. I've not gone through all three, so I think I have authority to preach on all three. The first one, which is actually the last one, I think even if you fight, you hold out and then you fight back, but then you give in. So some people just, they're very timid maybe, so they give in maybe easier because they've been wired. But, you know, this man, Pastor Andre Mayberg, that pastor in Centurion, his church was 4,000 people, or 3,000 people, and there was people that accused him of nepotism. I also didn't know what that meant. My mom had to tell me. They accused him of helping his friends and his family in the church. And then they said he was corrupt with the church finances, and about 40% of the church left the church because this is not a man of God. He's clearly not hearing from the Lord, and he must have felt intense rejection. And I can identify with what he had gone through, because it's terrible when people that you love walk away, when people you love dies, when people that you love are upset with you, or they walk away, they go to a different church or whatever the case might be, because they feel this is not the way God has called them to be. And I think any man, any person experience rejection when this happens, even though you might disagree with many things. You don't want to lose people. You actually want to be able to work through it. But sometimes you're in so much pain, you cannot work through it because your heart is just so raw, because you don't want to be rejected again. So you, in a way, just withdraw to yourself because you don't want to face that thing as well. Because I've been facing so many things, and this is the thoughts that is going through in your mind. But the root, there's seven of them: rejection, loneliness, you start isolating yourself. You start feeling sorry for yourself. Arme ek, dis nie meer lekker hier nie. Misery, depression, despair or hopelessness, and then death or suicide. I believe this is what this man probably had to go through all that, all those different stages. But it starts with rejection. It starts with rejection. I believe even we are born by that. Then you get the person that holds out. He's very defensive. He talks a lot. Talks the whole time, and then sometimes he talks so much that other people go like, and then that person goes, why do you reject me? Because I'm giving you everything that I have and you reject me. But it's because of the so much talking that that you go back and say, and it's just you just don't have the capacity to receive, because the love in us has not been perfected. Because if the perfect love was there, you could receive all the talking that person have to give to you, and love, and still talk and listen to that person. This example that I saw, because I had to listen to a lot of people, what they had to say, like Joyce Meyer and Derek Prince. But the one was people with lots of makeup, because they've been hurt. They cope with it. They put makeup, it's just like a face they put in front, because I'm okay, but I won't open myself again to be hurt. They're trying to be happy, but they say, I'll never be hurt again. And then there's the person that fights back, and it starts with resentment. You start hating that people. I'm upset with everybody. And then they start hating, and then they fall into rebellion. I don't know if you've seen people who go through that. And it's terrible. It's all the same root. It's rejection. But rebellion is just the sin of witchcraft. And I believe what Derek Prince also says here, that's why many people fall into the occult, because of rejection that they've experienced over a long time in their lives. But the good news is that Jesus was rejected so that we can be accepted. We have to believe this. This is the one thing of our faith that we have to believe. This is where our healing is, in the fact that Jesus was rejected. In Luke 23, this guy, Barabbas, he was a thief and a murderer. He had to be crucified. Pilate says, who do you choose? Who do you choose? They say, away. We want Barabbas away with Jesus. Crucify him. Crucify him. And then he said, are you sure? I said, crucify him. So the ultimate rejection was Jesus. He's done nothing wrong. All he did was he came to love us. He came to bring healing. He brought deliverance. He gave food to the poor. He helped the widows. He was helping people to come out of their circumstances. Yet all those people are now screaming at him, crucify him, crucify him. Even his friends ran away from him. His family was standing at a distance. People that said, I will die for you, ran away from him. He got the ultimate rejection at the cross. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, Jesus, it's a prophecy about Jesus. He was despised and he was rejected by man. Jesus himself was despised and he was rejected by man. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus himself took all the rejection. Derek Prince says, he believes that Jesus died before the others. Remember, they had to break the bones of the others so they could die, because they were breathing by standing on their legs like this. So when their legs got broken, they couldn't stand up anymore to breathe. They suffocated to death, because for them to breathe on the cross, they had to do this. So great cough exercises. When they broke his legs, they collapsed. And they suffocated, they couldn't breathe. But Jesus died already to fulfill that prophecy that no bone had to be broken. And what Derek Prince says, he died of a broken heart. He took the ultimate rejection upon him because everybody that he knew rejected him. Jesus didn't even have Jesus to fall back to, because even his father rejected him. My father, the father rejected him. Everyone rejected him. There was nobody for him. So that we can have acceptance. Hebrews 12 says that we must look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The scripture says, look to Jesus. He endured the cross. He endured rejection. He endured shame. He endured all the people screaming against him and beating him up. Consider him who endured all of that, so that we might not grow weary or faint-hearted. What did Jesus do on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And this is the key. We have to forgive. We have to continue forgiving and forgive and forgive and forgive. Because God wants to do a healing in us, even though everybody rejected. He said, forgive them, for they do not know what they are, what they're doing. And forgiveness is an act. We make a choice. Say, God, I forgive Pete. But then your heart is still broken. Yes, there's a process of healing that God wants to come and do. But it starts from a place of forgiving. Say, God, I forgive those. Ephesians 1 says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing? Because the Bible says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it says Jesus chose us, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. God chose us before the foundation of the world, before he said, let there be light. You and me have been chosen by God. We've been chosen. God has chosen us. People maybe have rejected us. He says, I have chosen you. We are chosen by God that we should be holy and blameless before him. And then in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons. We are God's children. What a better, more exciting thing in this world to be called children of God. We are his children. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will. It's God's will that we are chosen. That was His will from the beginning. That's why He sent Jesus to be crucified, so that we can be accepted and not feel rejected. To the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. So we have to believe that our healing is in God and not in people. And I just made a note here. We must trust in God and not in man. When we're going to put our hope in men, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to if Theo is just going to act in a certain way, and then because I'm rejected as well, people come to me and I'm like, just don't have the capacity, I do this, and then they feel rejected and they run away. But it's because we cannot put our trust in a man. We can only put our trust in God, because He's the only one that died on the cross. And bringing this message to you today, I've never been so raw in my life. It's almost like God is showing me what all of us are going through. Now, I cannot imagine how Jesus must have felt when He was on the cross. The extreme pain that He had to go through, for the emotional brokenness that He was taking on Himself, paying the price for all of us on that cross. But God is giving us this promise. Zephaniah, that's in the Old Testament if you didn't know. Zephaniah 3, verse 17 to 20. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. I will gather those who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I will gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised amongst all the people of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. I really believe God wants to restore us. He wants us to be renowned in this world, not because of us, but because of who He is. That we can set an example of the goodness of God over this world. That when we reach out to the poor and to the widows and the orphans and to the lost, that we do it because we have received the love of God. And there's not this brokenness in us that's saying, no, we don't want to get part. We don't want to be part because I don't want to be rejected again. So how do we get our healing? We've received it already. But these are steps that we can go through. And if I can just ask the ushers to hand out the emblems for the communion. I'm going to just talk us through this. But we have to accept that we've been rejected. If this is the beginning for all of us, that we accept, yes, I've been rejected somehow in my life, then we have to forgive those people who have rejected us. We bring them by name before God and say, God, I forgive so and so. I forgive him for he rejected me. He had said this over me. I expected more of him. He's supposed to be a Christian. How does he act? That's not right. Maybe even if it's our parents, or because we were poor, they also tried the best they could. Forgive. Just, we must come to forgive them. And then, very important, number three, is we must renounce the destructive fruit of rejection. We cannot continue feeling sorry for ourselves. We have to say, God, I renounce condemnation. I renounce double-mindedness. I renounce being a perfectionist. I renounce rejecting others. Because the thing is, rejection will leave us incapacitated, where we cannot receive or communicate love. Because we've been rejected, we cannot receive love and we cannot communicate love. And I believe this is where we are as the church, because people from the outside come inwards and they're like, why don't anyone love me? But the people inside the church are sitting the same. Why is not anyone loving me? But God has not called us to be loved. He has called us to love. And this is where grace comes in. He gives us the anointing, the power to do the impossible. And that is God's love. This is His grace for us to be able to do the things that we cannot do. Then number four, accept that I am accepted because Jesus was rejected. That is the healing. On the cross, Jesus got rejected so that we can be accepted. The price is paid 2,000 years ago. It's been done. It's a done deal. Our healing is already done. It's been given to us. We must just now accept it and walk in it. For some of us, it might take a while. I believe for some of us, it could go quickly because it's been brought into the light. Don't feel condemned if it's taking a while for you, but just go and renounce those things. When you feel lonely or you feel you want to isolate yourself, say, God, I will not isolate myself. I renounce that in the name of Jesus. I am part of the body of Christ. I'm beloved by you. I'm your favorite child. I thank you, God, for that. Then we have to accept ourselves. We have to accept who we are. We have weaknesses. We have strengths. We have things that are good in us, and we have things that are bad in us. There's opportunities that things will come easy in our lives, and there's things that will come difficult in our lives. And this is why we need one another, because my weakness is probably Dirk Jan's strength, and maybe his weakness is Jacques' strength. It's not mine necessarily. It's not a two-man thing. It's all of us. We all have weaknesses and we all have strengths, but together in unity. And I don't know if you saw that Mandela movie where he said, individually, you cannot do this, but together. And just adding to Kurt's message last week is there's healing in us coming together, allowing the pain to surface so that God can deal with it. And this is my final point. Find acceptance in God's family. And this is why we really believe it is good for us to serve in this church. It is good for us that we serve, because our weaknesses get exposed and people can help us and deal with us and love us. And people will know, if I'm not coming to church anymore, why not coming to church anymore? And it's not me having to phone everybody. We phone one another because we are the body of Christ. I'm not the church. We are the church. This is God's church. This is not my church. This is not Shofar's church. We are part of the body of Christ. But we all have a responsibility to serve one another in this church and not to sit and wanting to receive. If we feel that, it's because we've been broken, we've been rejected. And I really believe God wants to deal with that. So I'm going to ask you, as we have communion, if you want to. If you don't want to, I understand. Because I realized if I do an altar call, probably no one will respond. Because people don't want to respond to the altar calls anymore because they don't want to be exposed and get rejected. Because they come forward, now everyone knows, and now they talk about me, and then that rejection is even worse. And so I don't want to bring my stuff into the light because I'm afraid of being rejected by people and maybe even by God, because I've struggled so long with this and I'm not getting breakthrough in it. So as we just come before the Lord, I just want you to close your eyes. And this is only if you want to. If you really believe that you are broken, let me just ask God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, to show us now, to show us where we've been rejected, Lord, where we've been left alone, where we've been not chosen, where that hurt in us came, Lord God, where I've been hurt, where my sickness came, Lord, where my heart became hardened because there was nobody for me and I was left alone and no one cared for me. I just ask that you just bring it before God, and if there's any names that's coming up now, that you forgive them, that you just go and forgive them. And if you're struggling to forgive, if you want to pray that prayer, say, God, help me to forgive, just say, just forget that. It won't work. God will not help you to forgive. Just say, God, in the name of Jesus, I forgive Bet. Just forgive them now. Forgive those people who have hurt you. And if it's God, say, God, I forgive you because I felt neglected by you. Just ask him to forgive you. Just forgive him in the name of Jesus. And now let's just bring, if there's any fruit in your life that you could identify with, that you're pulling away from people or that you are a perfectionist, just renounce it. Say, God, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this thing that I want to pull away from people. I renounce condemnation. I renounce guilt. I renounce self-pity. I renounce disbelief. I renounce isolation, Lord. I renounce stubbornness, rebellion, blaming others, Lord. I renounce the fear of man, the fear of making mistakes. I renounce being jealous or envious of other people, Lord. I renounce always worrying or being anxious about everything, Lord. I renounce wanting to control people, Lord God. Lord, I renounce that I've been putting my trust in man and not in you. And now we just say, Lord God, we accept, Lord, that I am accepted because, Lord Jesus, you were rejected on the cross. And I thank you for that, Lord God, that the healing was done for me on the cross 2,000 years ago, Lord. And I accept that fact now in the name of Jesus. And number 5 is accept yourself. Say, God, thank you that you have a plan for my life, that you are well pleased with me, that I'm a son, a daughter of God, that I'm well loved by you, that I'm your child, Lord, and I am loved because you loved me first, God, in Jesus' name. The last one is just a process that I believe everyone must do for themselves. I'm not going to ask you to pray that in, but if you want to bring it before the Lord, you are welcome to. And then I'm just going to ask us to pray this prayer together. And I'll read, then you can just follow what I've read, because you might not be able to see there. So before we do that, that bread in our hands, just close your eyes and see Jesus on the cross, broken, beaten to a pulp, bleeding. No one can recognize him because he's been broken. He's been rejected for us. Let's eat. And the blood of Christ, that our healing is in the blood of Christ. Let's drink. Can I just ask that you stand with me? And just as we do it, I just want to say that people will disappoint us and fail us. They will even reject us. But God will never reject us. We are called to love people, not to be loved by people. It's a sacrifice. It's a giving of ourselves, where we surrender because of what Jesus has done for us. He has called us to love those, even if they don't love us, like he had done. He loved us, even though they were rejecting him. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God. You died on the cross for my sins, and you rose again from the dead. I repent of all my sins, and I forgive every other person as I would have God forgiven me. I forgive all those who have rejected me, hurt me, and failed to show love to me. I trust you to forgive me, Lord. Jesus, I believe that you accepted me. I am accepted because of the cross. I am highly favored. I am the object of your special care. You really love me. You want me. Lord Jesus, your Father is my Father. Heaven is my home. I am a member of your family, the best family in the universe. I am accepted. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm just going to trust, as we just pray, Lord, as we just close every eye. God, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that by your Spirit, God, you come do a work of healing in our hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. Your Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we have been accepted because you've been rejected, Lord. And God, we pray, Lord, that you will heal the broken hearts, Lord, and that you will deliver us, Lord, from a spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. And God, we, in this town where we live, Lord, there are so many cliques and groups and people wanting to be part of something small, but they're rejecting and isolating other people out of their group, Lord God. I pray, God, that we are higher. We have a higher calling than this, Lord, to include everyone, Lord, to draw everyone in, because all of us are your children, Lord God. And I pray, God, that we will rise to the occasion, Lord God, that we will not be thrown because we're not getting invited or we are rejected or all these things, Lord God. But we will stand because of you, your love for us. And that we can demonstrate, Lord, to this world your love, because we understand that you first loved us. In spite of how they act to us, God, that we can still say, Father, we forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They've not seen the light, Lord. that we will forgive unconditionally all people in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence here, Lord. I thank you that you're doing a work of healing, Lord God. I thank you that you're restoring hearts, Lord. That you're giving us confidence in Christ, Lord. Hope that we know we are loved, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love in the name of Jesus. If there's maybe a person or people here that needs prayer and you want to respond and you have the courage to respond, we just want to anoint you and just pray a blessing of God's healing over your life that you can stand and be counted for in the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. As we're just going to finish the service this morning, we are going to baptize someone if you want to be baptized too. But I want to really call on believers to not separate yourself, to not isolate yourself, not to run in your own direction, but there's really a blessing in us coming together. Because one person cannot help everybody. It's impossible. I tried, but we cannot do this. We're not called to do that. It's only Jesus that could do it. Because He's Lord, He's God. He's been God from the beginning. We need all hands on deck. There's many people with hurt, who've been hurt like we have been hurt. But we have the answer. We have Jesus. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have accepted Him. We are His children. We know how to pray. We know God's Spirit is in us. We speak in tongues. We prophesy. But the same Spirit in God that raised God from the dead, that ascended Him into heaven, is in us. We have that same Spirit. We cannot allow God to reject, feel rejected, and allow other people to feel rejected because we don't want to get hurt again. I really believe this is something for all of us to stand up, to come together and get over our problems now. And I'm talking from a broken heart. There's cell groups that must be planted so that people can see the light. There's so many people going down because they don't have hope. But we have the hope. We have all the answers. We know Jesus. Please don't separate yourself. Please don't isolate yourself. We are part of a body of Christ. We have cell groups. There are some of you that must multiply. And you don't want to multiply because you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid that if we multiply, the new people in this group is going to reject me. So I'd rather stay with my small little group where we feel comfortable. We don't want to reach out to new people because we don't want to risk rejection again. I really believe this is not what God has called us for. He has called us to overcome all of that as He had overcome it for us on the cross. So I really believe God has given us a word to bring us to the next level, to bring healing. And I think there's people who's going to walk out of here who's still going to be hurt tremendously. And I think that is fine. But just bring it before God. Say, Lord, I've been hurt, but I ask you to deal with me. And it's not going, some of us not overnight, but the rest of us must have the grace for that person to walk with them as well. And not say, let someone else do that. We need everybody to help, to love. If you isolate yourself, you cannot be part of God's purposes for this world in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy and your love, Lord God. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon us, Lord, and give us power to be witnesses wherever we go in the name of Jesus. Amen. May God bless you.